Sure appreciate the prayer and hope that you'll continue to pray. It's my prayer that the Lord would bless me to say something that would be benefit to you, but most of all that would be honoring to our Lord and certainly in harmony with the true teachings of His Word. I'd like for us to notice this evening a thought that I'd like to present to you from John chapter 15, and I'll begin by reading the first three verses. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. There's an awful lot of good teaching that is found in this chapter and in this very familiar part of the scriptures. But there's one thought that has just hit me in the last few weeks in a way that I'd never noticed in studying this particular part of the scripture. And I believe that this teaching in these three verses, and especially in verse 4 that I've just read to you, helps us to avoid one of the mistakes that so often we make in our Christian service to the Lord. And I'll say more about that as we go through these verses. This took place somewhere between chapter 13, obviously, when the Lord was in the upper room with the disciples and instituted the Lord's Supper, and the time that he was in Gethsemane. In fact, some say that he was probably traveling to the garden at the time that this took place. Our Lord, I think, so much like most homeschool mothers or homeschoolers, I'll just leave it like that, are always looking for a teachable moment. We so often, when our children were coming along and we see something outside the windows, we were traveling that would give us an opportunity to teach the boys something, we'd avail ourselves of that opportunity. The Lord was that way with His disciples, and I think on this occasion they no doubt saw something that was very familiar for that part of the country in that day and age, and that was for a vine, a grapevine, to be present. Could have been on a wall. It could have been on. It could have been just anywhere. We don't know for sure where it was, but nevertheless, the Lord comes along and He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." That word husbandman there simply means a land worker. We might call him a gardener, we might call him a farmer, but in any regard, it was somebody that would work the soil and work the plant that was under consideration. He lets us know that we are, later on, he tells us in verse 5, for instance, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches." And then in verse 2 he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." There are some things about, even though the vines were so common in that particular day and age, if they were left unkept, lots of times they would not be very productive. There was work that had to be done for them to be productive. They had a tendency to grow into dark places, cracks and crevices where they couldn't get any sunlight. Also, they had to be tended because whenever a little storm, rain, or wind would come along, some of the tender branches a lot of times would break off. And those branches, if left to themselves, not only would need to be removed in themselves, but also if they lay next to a healthy branch, could disease it or to cause it to die as well. And so lots of times there was a lot of work that had to be done to prevent diseases and continue to make the vines to be productive. And the purpose of the branches, of course, remembering that we are the branches, the purpose of the branches was to bear fruit. We find that later on in this chapter, in verse 8, for instance. And then also in verse 16. In fact, verse 16 says it so well, I'll just read it. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," talking to His disciples, "and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." He says we're to be fruit bearers, and our fruit is to reign. Even after we are dead and gone, our work should follow us in the lives of those that have come in contact with us, especially the lives of our children. Our fruit should remain. And he lets us know that as a good husbandman, that there's some work that's going to be going on in our lives. That when we don't bear fruit, it's possible that he may take that branch away. He says that he will, even if we do bear fruit, he will purge it that it might bring forth more fruit. Now, the fruit that the child of God is to bring forth is, of course, not literal grapes, but we can read about them over in Galatians and in chapter 5. And you're familiar with those, and I'll not read all of them, but you know the joy, peace, long-suffering, and goodness, and so on. All of those things that he has mentioned there. Then he says, but if we don't bear fruit, he taketh that branch away. Now, obviously, that does not mean that we lose our eternal salvation. He's not going to take us out of the family of God. That's an eternal covenant. That's an everlasting covenant. That's an unchangeable covenant that God has that will enable us to live in glory when this life is over. That word taketh there is a Greek word. The first meaning, at least in Strong's Concordance, is, even though it means also that it can mean to cut off, it also means to lift up. And I think this good husband sometimes, as I mentioned, these branches that tend to want to go off into the darkness of a crack or in a wall or something like that, this good husband will pull that thing out, that branch out, and try to redirect it so that it can get more sunlight. When it gets the sunlight, then it can become productive again. But it also means to cut off. It literally does. There are times when there are things in our lives that need to be cut off. And God deals with us in our lives much as a gardener would deal with a vineyard or with a vine. It's sort of like our lives is sort of like a... In fact, the Bible tells us our life is like a story that is told. We've got a girl that, she used to at least work at the office, and she's amazing to me because she's as country can be. But when she gets to a typewriter or she gets to a computer, she can write unbelievably. She has 3 books that's already been published. The last one that she published, she asked me right after she'd finished it, and it was still in type page form, she asked me, would I edit it? And I said, I don't know how to edit anything. She said, well, just see if you can add anything to it, or if you can make it flow better, or correct my mistakes and all that kind of thing. And I said, well, is it all right to mark on it? She said, yes, that's the whole purpose of it. So I got me a red pen, and I took it on vacation, and I read it in about a day and a half. It's interesting. I'm telling you, she's a good writer. But there was a lot of things in that I saw, or at least I felt like, that would make it flow a little better. And I'd make some red marks and all of those grammar mistakes. I'd mark those kind of things. And when I got back and I gave it to her, I could see her face. She didn't particularly like all those red marks on her writings. And you know, when I write a letter, I'll hand it a lot, especially if it's a delicate letter, maybe to a church member or trying to answer a question somebody gives. I'll give it to Barbara and I'll ask her to read it. And I ask her to see if she can make it any better. You know what? It hurts my feelings when she makes it better, when she says you could change this or you could change that. And you know, sometimes when God starts to dealing with us and he starts cutting off some of the pride in our life or some of the arrogance in our life, when he starts cutting off some of those things, some of those fruits in our lives like bitterness and all of those kind of things, it hurts, doesn't it? When you come to the house of God and the preacher preaches on something that we know that we need to do better on. And we get a little upset sometimes. It's just a part of the flesh to be like that. To say it no other way, it hurts. But you know those things, lots of times when God deals with us, sometimes he'll send some financial distress in our lives to help us to destroy some and crush some pride that might be in our life, to draw us to the Lord, to get us a little closer to him. Sometimes it might be sickness in our lives and the doctor just can't diagnose it and doesn't seem like anybody is able to diagnose what is going on. That helps us to rely on the Lord, doesn't it? We go to all the specialists and finally, when they all can't come up with the answer, we start praying. And when something we ought to have been doing to begin with. I heard this the other day. It's not mine. It's not original with me. This person said this. Whenever we are suffering unjustly, and we feel like that it's unbearable, we need to go to the cross and look at the cross. And then whenever the fear of death steals our joy away, then we need to look at the resurrection. If we can keep our eyes on the cross, it'll keep us where we ought to be. It'll keep us our eyes on what Jesus Christ suffered for us. And then what little bit we suffer here in this life is so insignificant compared to that. And then even if it gets so bad in life that we know we're going to have to leave this world before long, keep your eyes and keep your mind on the fact that there's a resurrection that is coming, and one day there's a better day for us. Jesus is the good gardener. He cares for us. You know, that ought to, when we're going through some of those experiences and the gospel's dealing with us in a special way, convicting us in a great way, we ought to thank God because He cares enough for us that He would deal so in our lives. You think about a Sunday morning when this building is full, it's just about packed, and yet God gives you something that you feel like you need, and He's dealing directly with you. All of these other people in here, and yet He convicts you. That shows He loves us, doesn't it? That shows us that He's concerned about us and He wants us to bear fruit, more fruit in this life. And I've gotten bogged down and I apologize for that. But when you hear, this is my point, when you hear one of those convicting sermons and you're sitting there and you're saying, I'm guilty of this. You don't try to justify it. You just know I'm guilty of this. And you say, I'm going to do better. What do we usually do? How does fruit come about in our lives? Can that old grapevine just will to produce a fruit, a grape? Can it just voluntarily produce one, maybe overnight, something like that? Doesn't happen that way, does it? And you and I can't. That's the essence of fruit. Fruit takes time, and fruit takes a source of the nutrients that's necessary to produce those fruit, and it must come from the vine. A lot of times I've said on the sound of the gospel, preacher maybe would preach on giving. And I sit there, and I'm thinking about it, and I said, I'm going to do better. I've got to do better. Lord, hurry up and get this service over with. I want to get to the plate. You know, I want to give a little more today. And there's been a few times that preachers preached on forgiving. And I've had a little grudge that week. And I'd say, Lord, I'm going to forgive them if it kills me. You know. And then sometimes maybe he's preaching on patience. And you know, you need more patience. And you just say, Lord, I'm going to be more patient. I want to be that way today. You know, which just doesn't work that way. It requires fruit in our lives. What does He tell us over and over? Does He tell us now, produce fruit, produce fruit? He doesn't do that. What does He tell us? Over and over. And I would challenge you to read. I'm not going to take time to do it. I'd challenge you to read this chapter and find how many times He says, abide in me. Abide in me. Remain in me. Stay close to me. You see, the source of the nutrients that's necessary for us to have that spiritual strength is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ Himself. And we must stay close to Him. We must come to the house of God. Because when you come to the house of God, by the way, that word purge there, that word purge can mean to cut off. It can mean to prune at least. But it also means to wash. You know, fruit, grapes don't grow on the ground. What happens when a branch falls off on the ground? That ground will cause them to rot under the bottom. They can't grow down there. Grapes are not watermelons. They're not squash. They're not things that grow on the ground. And I'm here to tell you that the child of God can't grow in the dust and dirt of this old world. It can't grow by allowing the fruit, the flesh to rule and reign in our lives. We need to be in the house of God because the Word of God might wash us, wash off some of that pollution and dirt, and it might rearrange some things in our mind and our lives that allow us to get more sunlight. And I'm not talking about S-U-N, I'm talking about S-O-N. We need more of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. That's why we need to be here. We need to be, rather, in the house of God. Every Sunday morning, every opportunity that you have, because you never know when that time that God may deal with you in a special way. that will turn your life in a direction that you need to go. How we need to abide in Him. We need to be praying. We need to be staying close to Him. We need to turn the administration of our entire life over to Him, because He is the master gardener. When He prunes, it may hurt, but we'll always be the better for it. May I encourage you to abide in Him. Stay as close as you can to each other, and stay as close as you can to Him, because you will gain strength to bear fruit in this life. May God add His blessings to these few thoughts.